can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now you can speak, Mick, just while we're playing the music. Now, Mick, so Mick still...
My wife was making fruitcake yesterday.
Was she?
Oh, yeah, she makes fantastic fruitcakes.
Well, bring us a piece in next time you come.
I'll do that.
Yeah. Oh, Mick's right into it. He's just chatting. Well,
what's that, Mick? Hang on.
We always have the fruit soaking in brandy.
Oh, overnight?
For about a week or two.
Really?
In brandy, yes. And she knocks one up every sort of 2 weeks.
Does she really?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, can you bring me in a piece?
I'll get her to cook you one.
Are you two finished?
Hang on. I go do the country shows, especially in Queensland. They have cooking competitions and they have the best fruitcake, best sponge and whatever else. I'm into this. I go around and have a look at them.
You like the...
what?
The marzipan icing?
No.
No.
I'm not into that, marzipan.
Hello. Where?
Yeah, you don't know what we're talking about.
Don, Don's the microphone. We've started the second episode here, and you two are—I don't know what you two are chatting about.
We're talking about fruitcake.
Well, how apt that you would be talking about fruitcake.
Does she do preserves, Michael? She preserves.
Oh, fruit? Certainly does. Yes.
Really? What sauces or fruit?
Boys,
everything.
Really?
Mm. Mick,
do you know what they do at the shows up north? It's a bit of a racket. They take the same preserves in a lot of cases from show to show. Just to win.
How would you find that
humorous? Instead of making a new batch for the new show.
Don started to giggle when he said that.
I just keep going around with the same produce.
He started to speak about preserves.
No, favourite.
Yeah.
Just I like, start broken to laughter.
Ketchup or relish, homemade.
All right, tomato.
Yeah, you know, tomato with ketchup and what.
Mm-hmm. Two shut the fuck up, Don.
Well, you wouldn't know anything about preserving.
Well, have a chat to him out in the back of your bubble.
Did she do with that Fowler's Vicola stuff? You remember Fowler's Vicola? That was the old-fashioned way of boiling it up.
I'm not sure. I've got to stay out of the way.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
We had to cut the fruit up when we were young to put in the Fowler's Vicola.
What is going on? Ivan, you're looking out on the... our interview's probably arrived. Go and tell them to park in the top dog spot, will you? Just if they're not in the top dog spot. Or they can park over next to where Mick's car is. Don, seriously, you two. We kept Mick on because just as he was about to leave, he said something which I wasn't aware of, but I always call... I always call it kilometres. I don't call it kilometres. I just call, if you're doing 100 kilometres an hour or it's 100 kilometres to Geelong, he says he has a different take on the pronunciation of kilometres and kilometres. Mick, go ahead.
I didn't want to correct you.
No, Mick, the reason you're on is I would like you to correct me.
Because kilometres is the speed you're doing.
Kilometres.
Mick, just speak into the
get kilometres.
Your mouth in front of it. That's right.
Kilometres is the speed you are doing. Kilometre is the distance.
So there's a difference. So if you say
kilometre and
if you say it's 100 kilometres to Geelong, and I'll go down there at 100 kilometres an hour.
Is it spelt the same, Mick?
Of course it is.
No. Are you Mick? Mick, is it spelt the same?
It's just pronounced differently.
Hang on, mate. If it's spelt the same but pronounced differently.
That's you like ridiculous. Apricot jam?
What's that?
Do you like apricot jam?
I do.
Oh, yeah.
As long as there's not too much sugar in it.
Hang on. If it's spelt the same, it's like wind and wind.
Yes.
No, wind is W-Y-N-D. Wind, W-I-N-D.
Wind is W-Y-N-D.
Yeah, wind.
What, you wind
Scott wind.
Scott Wind.
He played for Footscray in the ruck.
I'm talking about an adjective. It's wind and wind are spelt the same way, like kilometres and kilometres are spelt the same way. And numbskull, that's what. So I didn't know.
No wonder. Do you think the English language is the hardest of language to learn?
Yes, of course it is, Don. So, Mick, That's bullshit what you said then. You're saying it's acceptable to say Melbourne is 100 kilometres from Geelong and you could drive down there at 100 kilometres an hour or vice versa. Is that what you're saying?
100 kilometres an hour?
Mick, speak into the microphone or I'll have to let you go. Go on.
I've got to go.
Why did you say that? Where did you get that from?
I got an ear bashing from the wife.
From the Ayatollah.
Yes, that's it.
Jesus, a few blokes get a bash from her. Ivan does, you do. We're the only ones that are free at the moment.
Well, there's only one.
We've been married 35 years.
35?
He'd been happily...
I didn't know I'd broken five mirrors.
Shit. He's been happily married for 5 years, Mick. He's been married for 35 years, but happily for five of them. Now, I've met Mrs. Mick too.
Have you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did she get around?
She bought me some food. What did she buy me? Bought me something to eat. What did she buy me?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, well, she did too.
Mm.
Now, Mick.
Well, we're talking about preserves.
No, well, we're talking about kilometres and kilometres, and I'm disputing, I think... The accepted thing in Australia is kilometres, but I call it kilometres. I don't think there's a differentiation between distance and speed, Mick.
There is.
Do you like
ginger, Mick? Differentiation.
Do you like gingerbread stuff?
Ginger?
Mm.
So I'm not really into that.
You know you're not allowed to call them gingerbread men now?
Why? Yeah.
Because it's gender-oriented.
Bullshit.
Mm. Ah, mate, yeah. You're the people that can't make them, Mastercraft or who?
No, gingerbread men used to stamp out. They were never manufactured by anyone. We used to do it
Well,
as
the
kids.
Stamps now are null and void. They can't call them gingerbread men. They're gingerbread.
People.
They're just called gingerbreads. What?
What do they call ginger nuts?
Ginger's nuts.
Now, so speaking of, so we weren't speaking of nuts, but I was going to mention this. We were talking about, I don't know if you've seen this, and Ivan can confirm this. He can pretend he's rocket for the day. Excuse me.
Talking about rocket.
Yeah, what are you speaking about, rocket? What
there
rocket?
There was a resignation announced yesterday in Melbourne, made the news.
Go ahead.
Hamish McLaughlin.
Yeah, he's not rocket. Oh, you're saying he's...
He'll have... I just thought as soon as the news item came on...
You thought of him?
He'll have time now to have a cup of coffee with you.
Rocket?
No, Hamish.
Oh.
Dylan, Hame. I'm sorry. Oh, jeez, I'm sorry.
That's Gillum. Right, you have me confused, mate. That's
Gillum, I'm sorry.
Gillum.
Gillum.
So, Gillum, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's
how do you spell Gillum? Gillon, G-I-L-L-O-N, or is it Gallon? Gillan.
I am.
Gillon. So Gillon, almost a year ago, I was chatting to him, and he said we must catch up for coffee.
Yeah, now he's got time. He's been a busy man.
So this is what I'm saying to
the
it.
The pandemic?
Well, no, he's retiring.
I know that, but he'll have time now to catch up with John
for
the coffee.
Yeah, after the end of the year, so I have to wait another 6 months or so.
Well, okay, but it's coming.
Why is he... Gillum, tell people who might be listening in Israel or wherever, Gillum McLaughlin.
Well, the guy in Israel who does listen, there's only one.
How do you know?
I'm told.
What about Netanyahu?
I think he's busy.
Netanyahu, not sure if he's that busy now these days. He's not the Prime Minister anymore, is he? That doctor I did meet, I met him out at a restaurant. He said he thought, he was a friend of Netanyahu's, and he said that he thought, what's Netanyahu's first name?
Bill.
Bill Netanyahu. Benji Netanyahu. And I noticed Nick Natanui. He's not Netanyahu.
Nick Natanui.
Nick Natanui's done a knee.
Yes.
So he's out. So it just shows you how fragile and how transitory people who play this game. Suddenly you're there, you're a feather duster, and the next time
you're... What did you think, talking about the game? Did you see Paddy Ryder stand there and Whittle Day from Hawthorne literally ran into him, received concussion, and Paddy Ryder's been suspended for 2 weeks.
No, I didn't see it. What happened?
The ironic thing
about it... We should get Mick Christian on. Not this Mick Christian, the other one.
The funny thing about it is that his grandfather, in his first game for Hawthorne...
What are you eating?
That muesli...
Why are you eating it while we're doing this, Don? You're hard enough to understand as it is, but with a mouthful of nuts and chocolate fucking blancmange or whatever it is.
Who can talk with nuts in their mouth anyway? You can.
I know a few girls that can.
Hello, Mick Working Blue. Mick's working a bit blue here.
I thought you'd come in on that one, but he came in like sucker.
Mick's come in nice and blue. He said he knows a few girls who can talk with nuts in their mouth. God.
Come in.
You know, that's that old thing, Don. If you got nuts on the wall, what do you got?
I don't know.
Walnuts. If you got nuts on your chest, what do you got?
Chestnuts.
If you got nuts on your chin, what do you got?
Chin nuts.
A mouthful of cock. Now, Don, that's how that works. I know that's a bit blue. Working a bit blue myself. But that's just an old parody.
But anyway, getting back to Will Day.
What?
We're getting back to concussion, aren't we?
Yeah. Never dismiss the fact that you're working to a microphone, Don. You're now a metre and a half back from it. Come in a bit closer. Because I've got to keep an eye on the bars here. Go on.
Anyway, the funny thing was that his grandfather made his debut for Hawthorne against Fitzroy at the Junction Oval in 1971. And his father, Robert, came off the half-back flank just as young Will did at the MCG on Sunday and was collected in basically the same spot. Robert Day was hit by Ian McCulloch, and he was taken off the ground, knocked out. Robert was knocked out a lot of times in his career. And young Will was knocked out on the weekend, or said had concussion. But Will, if I can give you a bit of advice, son, have a bit of awareness. A lot of footballers have not got awareness.
And to Is this run, you giving him advice?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He ran in like an open... He had to be hit. He was so open. He continued running. Paddy Ryder, in all fairness, could not get out of the way. He actually stopped. He did not run through Young Day. Day ran into him. He was stopped. So what has Paddy Ryder got to do? He has got to brace himself and protect himself. All he did was put his elbow to his side, brace, and Day ran into the shoulder and was concussed.
So you think the other Mick Christian has got this wrong?
Well, whoever's doing it or adjudicating has lost all sight. And what I'm really fearful of is that we've both played the sport. They are protecting. They're really worried in future about litigation. Now, my thing on it is that all footballers, we know the danger of the game. The game is a dangerous game. We realise that, we make that decision, and we should... Look, we're both suffering from football, but you've just got to put up with it. And the injuries you suffer on the ground. Otherwise, don't play it, go and do something else, but don't come back in years to come and
Dappy, if you like. This letter, the news item I was listening to on my favourite radio station, Golden Days Radio... It said someone was interviewed, a coach, about hands in the back rule. He said, "Oh no," he said, "they've got to address the hands in the back rule." This letter news bulletin. They said you can't put your hands in someone's back.
No, that's pushing the back.
And hang on, Don, just a minute. This is how ridiculous all these rules are. So if you are playing against me, or if you were playing, and the ball's coming up, and you back into your opponent.
That's all right.
Are you meant to say your opponent's got to stand there with his hands by his side and allow you to back into his chest?
The push in the back is to propel.
No.
If you propel someone forward or push or...
This is the point of the news item. It said that if you put your hands on someone's back, not push them, just put your hands on their back, and that's why it was a Tom Hawkins was given a free kick. I don't know, I don't follow it, but they just said...
What Noel Teasdale used to do was stick his leg up, and you'd cop running back with your eye on the ball running back, you'd run straight into his stops.
60 years ago, Noel Teasdale did do that, and he wore a helmet too a big leather guard. I'm talking about the ridiculous rule that if you put your hands up to stop someone backing into you at force, that is deemed a push in the back because you've actually physically got your hands have touched his back. That's why people are so frustrated and so many games are won and lost by ridiculous decisions for ridiculous rules. Now,
this game will never go international because it is so complicated.
That's just a natural reaction.
Hello, Mick.
Isn't it?
It is, Mick. That's my point, mate. If someone's backing at you, no one ever umpires or adjudicates these rules with common sense. If someone is backing into you at force, you've got to just stand there and let them sort of back into you and wind you. You're going to put your hands up and protect yourself. And as soon as you do that, that's a free kick. Now, Don, who is the greatest example of someone running onto the ground and getting cleaned up when they came off the bench?
Bluey Adams.
Well done. And who collected him?
Des Healy.
Well done, Don. So you bought, that was in the 60s. He came in on a grand...
60, it was too.
Came in on a grand final. Came onto the grand...
Was it the 50s? 58?
I don't... Well, you could be. Came in on a grand final, rushed onto the ground and was on for 4 seconds.
I think it was the 50s.
And bloke ran through him.
50s, yeah.
All right, Don. So Gil, you reckon Gil's coffee...
Well, he's free for coffee.
Now, why do you think he's...
And I think... Beg your pardon?
At the end of the year.
Well, I think he'll also have plenty of time to make up for lost relationships or broken relationships too, do you think?
With me? I haven't never had a relationship with him, but so I'd like to just massage. I'd just try and just get one going because I want to know what do you think he's going to do? He's not resigning.
What, the Olympics?
What?
Is it an opportune moment to become chief executive for the Olympic Games?
Or the Commonwealth Games?
Oh, no, I think that's...
It's an anachronism,
I think
Commonwealth
that's a little
Games.
Lower, the Commonwealth, but there would be a feather in the cap.
Olympics.
Olympic Games, yes.
What about he might take over Australian soccer or...
Why would you do that?
Well, it's just another...
A rung down, isn't it?
A rung down?
Yes.
Well, I would think anything's a rung down from running the AFL, wouldn't it be?
Well,
the most popular sport in the world.
That's why I'm looking at the Olympic Games.
Most popular sport per capita of the population in the world.
That's why I'm looking
AFL.
At the Olympic Games, an international event.
So you think he'd be running the Olympics?
Well,
look,
I'll just
get
put it
rid
out
of
there.
Beth Slatter or Beth Slew. What's his name?
No, not there. I mean, just for Australia. We've got them coming to Brisbane.
So every 4 years he'd be up and about.
No. Haven't we got the coming in something?
We got
Brisbane?
Nothing. Yeah, the Commonwealth Games are coming to
Olympics.
Melbourne.
No.
Oh, yeah, in 2030, isn't they?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, it'd take a while to organise it.
Yeah. Well, you're at 8 years, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, it would. So you reckon he's going to do that?
Well, I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah. What else do you think he could do? What do you think he could do? He could run Tesla or something out here.
Why?
For Elon Musk. Do you know the people... So Elon Musk, have a listen to this. Elon Musk has bought 10% of Twitter because he thinks 10% of Twitter because he thinks it's a disgrace that you can't have free speech and they can regulate what you can say. They're just an arm of the Democratic Party. So he's bought 10% of Twitter, and the people now have said that he's a racist because he comes from South Africa and he was born during the period of apartheid. Can you believe these people? It's fantastic. Racism, if you're called a racist now, means absolutely nothing because you're just making fair comment about people, not races, and suddenly just Elon Musk, a racist because he comes from South Africa. Have you ever heard anything more ridiculous? Oh, of course you haven't. Now, Don, I want to ask you one question, and you, Ivan, too, and of course, Mick, you're still here, are you? Have you got any good other blue jokes that you want to let us go?
I'll find one before I go. Yeah.
Let's see if you can find one before you go. I want to know why the Grand Prix, one of the great attractions of the Grand Prix, Don, the Formula One Grand Prix, is when the jet flies over, the Hornet or the F-111 or whatever it's called. The roulettes, they're propeller-driven fixed-wing aircraft. The jet goes over and frightens the bejesus out of everyone that's there. It's a fantastic sight.
The fact that the jet flying or the people having frightened the bejesus, looking at them or the plane, what's the sight?
Could you repeat that, Don?
Well, I'm a little confused. You said it was a terrific sight, and you said the people.
Yep.
You frighten the bejesus out of them. Is it good looking at the people having the bejesus frightened out of them, or is it good looking at the plane flying over?
No, well...
I defer to you. Did you understand that, Ivan, please?
Yeah, no, I know what he's talking about.
Well, just clear it up. What is he talking about?
Formula One is not allowed to have military parades. So that's for Australia, that's for China, that's for Russia.
Yes.
So that's why we didn't see a C-130 Hercules flying across. That's only while we had the acrobatic roulette.
Are you seriously, I'm not disputing you, are you seriously saying that the jet, the Hornet or the F-111 was not allowed to fly over because it's got something to do with military warfare? You are joking. What?
In the US, you won't see the stealth bombers or anything like that.
Oh.
Some enthusiast has got a jet and they ring the organisers ring up this enthusiast with the jet and get him to fly it across. Is that what happens?
An enthusiast got an F-111, don't you reckon?
Well, you've got a bloody Lamborghini out here.
Yeah. Yeah, Mick, I think Mick down at MichaelChristianMenswear.com, I think he has a Hornet stored in the back of his menswear shop there. He could have towed that out and dusted it off and flown it over. Are you serious, Don, that someone's got a spare jet that they could fly over?
I don't know. I'm just... asking you, he said it's not allowed to
naked
be a military.
Naked paint on the side of it. Hello, sailor, as it flies over.
He said it's not. Ivan said there's not. It can't be a military or a defence.
No.
Is that the reason?
They don't want to ramp up all the stuff when the Grand Prix goes to China, if it ever does. They don't want to see 10,000.
Is that the reason they did not allow the jet to fly over because it was to do with military? Why do we cop this? It's like the grid girls. Why couldn't grid girls hold flags in front of their...
Were they there on Saturday, the grid girls?
Oh, shit, no.
Why not?
Because it's considered sexist and exploiting women.
So Alan Westacott is part of this woke community, is he?
No, he's not part of it. That's not his... That's the rules. You
what
can't
rules?
From Formula One, the governing body, they say no grid girls.
No,
except in Monaco.
You know, see, there you are, except in Monaco.
And then you've got to have grid boys too.
So Don, if you happen to be a good-looking woman, you know, and you've made a career, a vocation out of being good-looking, you're a model, and you got a good figure, and you happen to be born like
that's
that.
That's your source of income.
That's your source
you're
of income.
You're being discriminated against.
You are being discriminated against from standing in skimpy dress, holding a flag in front of a magnificent parade of cars, multi-billion-dollar cars exhibition. You are It is absolute nonsense, Don. And if you're not a good-looking person, well, bad luck, go and do something else. And plenty of people do, and they save the world, and they're doctors and lawyers, and good on you. But if you're a good-looking person, you get discriminated against because...
So what do you think good-looking females in the future are going to do?
Up to another level. We drag everyone down.
So what do you think these women are going to do in the future?
Be cocktail waitresses. I don't know what they're going to... What, the good-looking women?
Yeah.
Well, they'll probably... What do I think they're going to do? They're probably,
TV.
Yeah, TV. But mind you, they won't be employing good-looking people on TV soon. They'll be providing a diverse range of cultural...
ABC has got a very diverse range of reporters. On AS staff.
Yeah, no, that's all right if you're a diverse... If you're a reporter... If you're going to be on as an attraction at a Grand Prix, you don't want porkers standing in front of cars.
Hang on, what are porkers?
Or with the large men or women holding flags.
Porkers? Call them porkers?
Yes, yeah, porkers.
I immediately thought of pigs. Pork, you know, pigs. I thought you were talking about a type of pig.
Almost one and the same thing, Don. You don't want large men and women standing...
Porkers.
Because it's not attractive to the overall scene of what's going on. Is it? Is it?
No,
Don.
You've got highly tuned machinery.
Highly tuned machinery. And have a look at the machinery on some of the people stand with the flags. They got some decent machinery on them, Don. And I know it's... What's that?
I'm just trying to...
Hang on, Mick.
I never even used to notice that there was a race on after looking at the girls.
You were looking at the porkers?
Oh, too right.
No, not the porkers, Don.
What was he looking at?
He was looking at the girls. The good-looking broads.
A bit like being at the boxing, remember? When they
the boxing? They have birds at the boxing.
They used to hold it round one, round two.
Yeah, the boxing is incidental. Yeah. The Sheilas that get through the ropes and hold up the ring signs, you know, round two.
Really? Do they have those? I thought it was just a string that came down. Boxing, what was it? A string and had round number two on. Round one.
Sometimes, Don, I look at you and the doctor, TV Dr. Ringside, Dr. Fordham is onto something. Sometimes I look at you and I look into those vacant, pitless eyes and I think, this man is winding me up, and I can't determine whether you are winding me up or you're dead serious, because you're so deadpan. You're saying you've never seen women get through the ropes and hold up the round signs.
I bet they didn't.
You said they come used to. You remember them coming down on a string and
no, the numbers. You know, round one.
The women weren't coming down on a string. Don, I know the numbers. You saying they just lowered them on a pulley?
Yeah, and they were just hung above the ring. What, ring one or ring round two or what? Round three.
Oh, yeah, Don. People vie for that job to climb through the ropes.
So Howard, did they have them, the what do you call them, ring girls?
Well, that'd be a good thing, yeah.
Well, how did Rex get on announcing at the boxing?
He doesn't announce the rounds, he announces the fighters. The girls get in after every 3 minutes, the bell goes, and then they step through the ropes and hold up the sign which says what round is coming next.
Okay.
Don, surely you've seen that. Surely you've seen that.
I only watch the heavyweights and, you know, the title fights.
Well, they still get through the ropes to announce the heavyweights, Don, I think. I don't think they've got a weight limit the girls will only hold the ring signs up for. I think they hold them up for any weight division.
You should have asked young Jake Ellis that. Jake Ellis.
It's not a big thing to ask him. Now, Don, so here's the thing. Now, it's a buzzer because someone's reversing, Ivan. They don't have those in Perth. Don't have reversing trucks with buzzers. And now, Mick might like to answer this. He answered it about kilometres and kilometres.
I thought he was going.
Oh, no, he's just warm. He's just settling in.
No, he was going to go, and geez, we had to tie him down to find out.
Oh, no, you wait till he's... another pearler coming up in a minute. He's just working on... what are you working on, Mick? Something that can get us put off air.
You told me to take a seat.
No, I did. I was interested in the kilometres and kilometres, which is absolute bullshit, incident.
I had a good joke about that.
Come on. Come on. Here we go. This is mickchristianmenswear.com.
Women can do it sitting down.
Now, so steady down, Mick. Yeah. We go on.
No, women can do it sitting down.
Have we got a buzzer?
No, we haven't. Go on.
Most men do it standing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And dogs do it with one leg in the air.
Yeah.
So what are we doing?
Leg.
We're shaking hands.
Right. Just run that device again.
Yeah.
Women do it sitting down.
Men do it standing up.
Hang on. Why do women shake hands sitting down?
Well, most women don't have to stand up to shake hands.
Oh, that's pretty piss weak, Mick. Kind of seriously.
So what do dogs do?
Well, they put their paw up.
Leg in the air.
Yeah, they put their paw up.
They do.
Oh, you just got onto that, Don, did you?
I'm a bit slow, but I'm getting there.
You're a bit slow. Now, I tell you what I saw. Tell me this. This intrigued me. Do you know why? There is a logical reason. Do you know water? When you buy water in a bottle, it's got a use-by date?
Bullshit.
It has.
Oh, no. That.
How
that must be a health regulation. The water wouldn't go off.
It does go off.
Oh, come on.
No, Don.
It can't.
You look at it and you think, how can you have a use-by date on water? But the use-by date is on the bottle, because they degenerate after a period of time and become toxic. So don't keep water for more than a year, or if you've got it safeguarded.
The plastic?
Yes, the plastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah, wow. I looked at that.
Why
and I thought,
would you do that? Why? How did that get through?
Well, how did it get through? Because you've got to drink it like it had. No, as any how expiry would that get date through get
the,
through?
The authority. Gets through, Don, because it gives you a case of the shits. I can tell you that now.
Mick, working beautifully, Mick.
Well, it does.
No, of course. Yes, no, it's good work, Mick. Well, we won't have to kick in.
So we're saying don't keep filling up your water
Yeah, that's right.
Really, I've kept. I've got.
So no, we've got one here, and I keep. That's battered. I've kept that for a year, and someone said, "No, don't keep filling it up."
I've got a metal one here.
Oh, well, we're talking about plastic, Don. We're talking about.
I just wonder what happens with plastic bottles, metal bottles, then.
Well, what happens with glass bottles?
Don't know.
I think glass bottles won't deteriorate because they're glass. Will they?
That one doesn't have a use-by date on it either.
Because that's a receptacle. It comes empty, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. So it doesn't come filled, Mick. So you're not going to have a use-by date on an empty bottle.
But it deteriorates, you said.
No, I didn't say that. I said the plastic. So that was that staggered me, Don. I thought that was interesting. What about anal? Anal? ScoMo? There's an election coming up. ScoMo is...
You've used this a number of times.
Well, I'm just saying ScoMo is Scott Morrison. Yeah. Anal is Anthony Albanese. Yeah. Anal. Anal was asked. He said... climate change is going to be at the head of his curriculum if he gets in, because his exact words, government will be under new management, meaning that climate change is the big thing that he's going to address. Until someone asked him, did he know what the inflation rate was and the unemployment level was? And he said, no, I don't. And so this is the man that we're trying to get to be an alternative prime minister. Didn't know what the inflation or the rate was, or the unemployment. And to his credit...
He didn't even know what the cash rate was.
Thank you, Mick. He didn't know what the cash rate was either.
John Howard came to
his
defence.
My wife does.
Does she?
Too right, she does.
So
she knows
gone.
All about how to spend it, I can tell you.
She
doesn't listen to this.
No. And how sexist is this?
She loves it.
Yeah, the Ayatollah knows how to spend money. Yeah, well, Mick's out earning it. She's at home just lolling about, drinking wine and watching Gone with the Wind.
No, she's doing preserves and fruitcake.
Yeah, that's it. So
John... Has she got a Fowler's Vicola kit?
And ginger nuts, hey?
Who's ginger's nuts?
John. So John Howard came to
his
anal's defence, did he?
Yep.
Why?
Because he made the same mistake in, I think, 2008.
Ah, so that makes it right.
He said in 2008.
If you're running to be the Prime Minister and you're talking about fiscal responsibility, you reckon you'd know what the inflation rate was, or the unemployment rate, or the cash...
What about the cash rate?
Oh, interest rates. Yeah.
No,
you didn't say that.
The rate at how my wife spends the cash.
No, you didn't say interest
rates. The cash
rates.
Rate. The cash rate.
Is that interest rates? Yeah.
That's the level set by the Reserve Bank.
And so in fairness to Anal, he did say, I'm putting my hand up, I made a mistake, I should have known. He thinks that apologising for being ignorant is going to get him out of the woods. And it might, Don, do you think?
The other interesting thing coming out of that was, why are the Liberals trotting out John Howard to help them? I thought John Howard had a use-by date.
Well, he's the best Prime Minister we've ever had, that's why.
Excuse me, he's got a use-by date and I don't think it's doing their campaign any good. He's no longer relevant.
No, okay.
He was doing a conference in Perth.
Well, why did they say on the news that he was out spruiking for the Liberal Party?
Because they salacious.
He was meeting people and talking to people.
Well, because he was at a function and like anyone, if you went to a function and asked you about Hawthorn when you played football, they would report it, but you didn't go out there and say, oh, no, I'm popping up Hawthorn. You're just answering questions about your period in the game.
Sorry.
Do you remember I mentioned Shanghai before?
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention Shanghai before?
No, you did off air.
Sin City.
So Shanghai...
That was built by the Europeans, Mick. Did you realise that?
I
they
do.
Tried.
Yeah.
Very nice city, apparently. It's nice city. The architecture, very, very European, which is a contrast to the rest of China.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Don. Do you remember
That's
mentioned...
That's where your tie came from.
Shanghai or China.
Yep.
You always made in one of those sweatshops, Mick.
Probably Shanghai Susie or...
Do you have a fair work policy with regard to selling these things from sweatshops made in Asia? You don't care?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Oh, too right, yeah.
But you'd be more interested in a price than quality, Mick.
I was more interested in Chew Me down at the local... You know what?
Chew Me?
Mm. Chew me and
Mick, please.
I'm not coming back here.
And Shanghai Susie.
Mick's
and
laughing.
Beijing Betty.
Mick's there extremely was. Happy with there his was. Own material. He's chortling every time Mick. He mentions something. He bounces up there on his fat gut on the chair.
Man gets lonely, you know.
Shut the fuck up, Mick. So I did mention.
On a tray tour.
I did mention Shanghai, and you went off on a tangent, Don. Shanghai has been put under lockdown rules. There's 25 million people. This is on the international news. Ivan will back this up.
Al Jazeera.
So they have taken...
Excuse me, where do you get Al Jazeera?
Off the TV.
Oh, come on, boys. I've got TV. I don't get Al Jazeera.
You haven't got TV. You haven't got Foxtel.
No.
Well, then that's one of the channels available on Fox.
Al Jazeera.
Yes.
So what are they saying?
Oh, I was about... if I could just finish this without you interrupting Mick and him coming out with chew me down at the local knock shop or whatever he was talking about. I'm on the make the ties. I'm talking about...
that's where we might be able to sell the small undies.
Where?
Oh. We've got to get chew me.
Send Coles back to Newcastle. We got the underwear over from China. Now send it back and sell it to him.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to get this Shanghai thing out. So Shanghai, Don, has been locked down 25 million people because there's a new strain of the variant of coronavirus.
Is it bad?
Well, they've locked it down.
I said, is the strain bad?
Well, they think it is because it's become a ghost town. 25 million people in Shanghai. There's not a person on the street, which you think about it is extraordinary. And they...
So, hang on, where are they?
They've taken them to refuges, which are nothing more or less than prisons. They've put them in these huge warehouses to quarantine them. And the point of this is, Don, that all the pets that have been abandoned because their owners have been taken away by force, all the pets now have been roaming around Shanghai, and the authorities, the Chinese police... have come in and rounded up the dogs, which they've been bashing to death with shovels out on the street. There's pictures of them doing it. I'm not making it up. And the cats are a little harder to round up, so they've pretended to feed the cats because they've been starving. And when they get about 100 cats, they put them in a big Hessian bag and they tie the neck of the bag up and they leave the cats still alive in the bags on the side of the road for the council or the equivalent of the council to come up and put them into the back of the trucks, and they take them down and burn them.
Turn them into mink coats. You never know. They find a purpose for everything over there.
Turn them into mink coats. Cats into mink coats. They turn them into cat coats. Eat the dogs. They eat dogs in China. They have a dog parade in there every year where they eat dogs. They fatten them up and they eat them. So we're worried about things going on here, and they're rounding up millions of pets
We believe that the coronavirus started in Wuhan.
Yes,
the blame hasn't been levelled at the Chinese, have they? They've got away with this.
Oh, I tell you who was onto them. Donald Trump was onto them. And then they all pushed back on Donald Trump because all the sporting organisations who get all their revenue from China and have all their shoes and apparel made there and also get huge rights to televise the NBA basketball and everything. It is so corrupt, Donald. It is dishonest. And no one ever worries about it because they don't push back on the fact that... because they just don't like Trump because he called them out. Now, Don, did you catch, here's an interesting question. You heard of Scotty Scheffler. Scotty Scheffler.
Yes, the golfer.
Yes, just won the Masters at Augusta.
He hadn't won a tournament or something. He hasn't been going that well prior to this tournament.
No, he'd been going, but you're on the right track. He'd won three tournaments in a row prior to this one. Oh. This is his fourth tournament he's won.
Okay.
So from the time he won his first PGA Tour event, which was not long ago, was 42 weeks ago, and it took him 42 weeks to win his first PGA event, and then become number one golfer in the world, what the world ranking. The closest to that is Tiger Woods, who is absolutely, what a fantastic job that man did.
He's driving well now.
With the driving well, Mick. Very good line, Mick, because, you know, he crashed the car.
No, you don't have to explain it.
Well, I've got a feeling I've got to explain everything to you, Don, because you sit there, look at me as though you've got wind.
I'm getting help.
You got wind.
I've got help.
So
that's wind.
Yes, got wind. So, Don, Scottie Scheffler took 42 weeks from winning his first PGA Tour event to becoming number one in the world. The closest person that got to him was Tiger Woods, who, when he won his first PGA event as a professional, it took him 252 weeks to become world number one. Scott Scheffler has done it in 42 weeks. It's extraordinary.
But hang on, do the rankings start with the American Open, or the PGA, you know, the thing at Augusta?
That question...
Is that the first...
No.
Competition of the year. The
rankings go on, and every tournament you enter on the PGA Tour, which is the Professional Golfers Association Tour in America, it's like the football. Every round you play, you get a percent.
Is that determined by the amount of money you win?
It's sort of, yes, it is.
So if he's won that big event, the PGA, yes. The Masters...
Mm.
Of yes. course he'd go to the top, wouldn't he?
Well, I'm just saying, Tiger, who's won, I think, 16 majors, it took him 252 weeks to get number one. Scheffler did it in 42 weeks because he won three golf tournaments in a row this year, and now he's won four. No one's ever done that, I don't think. Maybe Sam Snead or Ben Hogan did. Wow. But that's in yesteryear.
Can I ask you something?
Of course you can, Mick. You seem to have taken over.
Something or whatever.
What's that?
You know, becoming such and such and such.
You're on the way
time.
Out, Ivan. You know that, don't you?
Short time.
You better get
short
back
time.
To Perth, you fuck.
When you're at the bar, all the bloke flies, and you mention Sam Newman, they say, he only played 299 games.
No, he didn't.
No, I'm not disputing that. Sam played 300.
Mm. And, yeah, so... But, and your point...
My point, why do people bring that up all the time?
I've never heard anyone bring that up.
Have you?
No, it's a statistical...
Well, you should get out more often.
It's a statistical fact that I played 300, that's right. So that's just... I'm counted as playing 303 because the games that missed to play state football, they used to count them as games. But physically, I played 300 exactly. That's a statistical fact. So it doesn't matter what people say in pubs, or I don't know what that means, but it's just nonsense. So
that's what I thought.
Did you?
Yes.
Mm. Well,
I watched a game on YouTube you were featuring. It was Essendon and Geelong, about 68. You were playing against Don McKenzie at Essendon.
Mm.
Number 24.
He was. But what I noticed was the number of drop kicks. You used a drop kick.
Yes.
Bruce Waite. Number 9 for Essendon, kicked it from near the centre towards the goals, nearly made the goals. Barry Davis off the half-back flank. Why isn't the drop kick being used more often? They're professional players. You could really hook into a drop kick. You know, you could really... It was a different kick to the punt. We all realise that, but took a different type of
You
energy.
Seem to have an answer for everything, Mick. Have you got a comment on that?
And it is much easier to mark too, a high mark. The drop kick, you could judge it much better.
I was there when Barry Davis used to...
Beg your pardon?
I was there when Barry used to do those drop kicks and they were fantastic.
Yeah, he was terrific.
Tell you what,
and John was doing them too. He was taking marks around the ground against
Don McKenzie.
You
just chat amongst yourselves. I'm going to speak to you. No, go ahead. I'm not...
No, I'm just saying you were in this particular game.
Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to start a breakaway of your podcast. You and I will just do this.
But not only that,
Don and Mick speak.
Shut up, Johnny. We're talking.
I'd noticed.
Yeah, Mick?
You watch a few of the old state games against Adelaide on YouTube and you see some of the really great players and the stab passes too. Mm. And they hit them right on the chest from, you know, 25 metres.
It's an anachronism.
And the other thing I do not understand, it's like a three-point shot in basketball. They've perfected that over the years. It's become a real weapon.
Mm.
They can shoot it further than the line. Why aren't players taught the torpedo punt from 60 metres out and having a shot for goal, because if you can get onto a torp, it'll go longer than the drop punt.
We saw one at the weekend.
What a torp.
Yep. With
who did?
A Joker from Richmond.
Joker. Who's his name? Bill Joker?
Djokovic. Djokovic. All right. Well, look, this is degenerated into just absolute...
Riewoldt to win the game.
Hang on, Johnny. Jack kicked a torp.
Didn't it? At half time. Yeah.
The goal.
How far out was he?
Oh, he was past the 50-metre line.
Yeah, that's great. There should be more of it, and they're professional, and they should have that in their kit. They're professionals. They should have it in their kit.
Okay, everyone. We've canvassed Chu Mi in Shanghai. We've spoken about...
Chu Mi was just down the
Gotti Scheffler. We've spoken about dogs being rounded up and cats put into bags and being slaughtered by the Chinese government. We've had inflation, unemployment from anal. I'm just going through what we've done here. We've had the Commonwealth Games chat. I don't know why we're getting the Commonwealth Games, but good on us. We've had people jumping on that. We've had we spoke about water having a use-by date. Is there anything, Don? Is there anything? I can see a whole lot of scribbled shit on that pad there, and I don't want to get berated when we close off because we've got our guest coming in to speak to.
Who have we got?
I tell you.
Because we've got
an ex model and an ex model and an ex actress.
No, I think it's actor nowadays.
We call them actresses because if you have two people with the same name, Kim and Kim, and one's an actor and one's an actress, you can tell which is a man and which is a woman.
I think
it's
you're
bullshit.
Wrong. I think you've got to call them actors
now.
No,
well, I don't have to call them anything, Don. I can call them what I like, and they're an actress if they're a woman to me. Now. So this is just trying to put everyone in a homogenised bottle. Mm. Now, Don, I don't want to get... And the woman said, when I told you she was coming in, you get intimidated by the women we have in here.
There's only one.
You got intimidated by Nicole Yap. Yeah, she intimidated you.
Yep.
Why did she?
Because
you got over into all of Twitter...
Strong,
no.
Dominant.
Yeah,
no,
you half no. looked at her half like you'd no. like to have a crack at her.
I think there was an old...
And the other woman,
motive.
This other woman's been in here before, and you were so taken by her that you went faint.
Did I?
You went weak.
Who was...
And I said to her, no, Tiffany. Not Tiffany. Shit, Tiffany, you went weak with her. You undressed her physically on the video we did. You ripped at her clothes. And if someone had been watching that from the discriminatory board, we would be off air. So we've got this woman coming in, and she's coming in. And I said to her, Don gets intimidated by you. She said, I love Don. I would never intimidate him. But she's coming in now, so the body language will be good when I introduce you. She's not here yet, incidentally. And Mick, I'd advise you to go too. You'll go berserk. Yeah, you'll have an eruption in your jodhpurs.
Mate, 63 is hard
enough
to get a
horn. You'll blow the fly out of your tweeds. It'll go springing across the room and blind us. And now...
there'll be a lot of excess Jim Sims now, that all those cats in China, don't you think?
We can go a certain distance with all this, but we can't go... You cannot be deliberately... That's called xenophobia.
What?
Xenophobia, I think it's called. Xenophobia?
I thought that was a song Olivia Newton-John put out.
Xanadu, yeah. No.
Xanadu, wasn't it?
Xanadu.
Oh, shit.
She's a good sort too.
Olivia. Who? The song?
Olivia Newton-John.
I've got, yeah. All right.
What? We had a noose on here.
Yeah, Toddy. Toddy, geez, Toddy, did she get some good reaction to it? She was fantastic, Toddy.
We got a lot of hits, you said,
actually,
Ivan.
All right, yeah.
Why did we get more hits on Toddy than anyone else?
No, well...
On Instagram, wasn't it?
Last week you broke the record. I think it was 38,000.
What, 38,000 what?
With Dave. Dave Brooksy.
Yeah, they wouldn't be looking at Brooksy, though. 38,000.
Yeah, 38,000.
Maybe they're looking at Michelle.
Maybe they were looking at Michelle.
You were taken with Michelle as well, Don. Michelle, you remember? You said, oh, we've
got... She was in a group called Fragma.
Yeah, you said, oh, we've got to get her back. She'd be a good track on her own.
Well, so Brooksy said, but group called Fragma. She was a member of that group.
She was a Fragma.
F-R-A-G-M-A. Not Smegma.
Smegma. She was a racing driver, car
Who?
Driver, Michelle. She drove... Yeah, she... And I said she could come and take the,
The Lambert.
The Lamington. She could take the Lambo for a drive and so...
Oh, you'd let her drive the car?
If I was sitting beside her.
Oh, okay.
Well, obviously, to tell how it works.
Right.
But you couldn't get in that car and drive it because you wouldn't know how to operate it. Okay. Now, anyhow, Don, this has been fascinating. Mick, I think this is probably your first and last appearance because you've probably nearly had us put off air four times. But we'll bear the brunt.
We can go to Rumble.
We'll bear the what?
We can go on Rumble.
He's not on a dating site. He's on
Rumble. This is the alternative where you get kicked off Facebook or Instagram. The mainstream. Yeah. We can go on to Rumble.
All right. So
at 63, most blokes are on dating sites.
The what?
At 63, most blokes are on dating sites.
And I don't know what that
and
means.
And they're either 43 or 53.
Yeah. Mick, have you been on a date? Well, you're married, betrothed.
No, he's married. He's
You don't ever have a roving eye. Just I know you've been married for 38 years and
35.
What?
35.
Hit the button, boss.
The ball and chains had me for 35 years.